Now we're beginning text 5, which is a very important verse. The first verse describes the beginning of devotional service, almost like the prerequisites for taking up devotional service. Although one may not be expert in controlling these six urges. Vacho vegam, manasakrota vegam, jiva vegam, ududopasta vegam. One may not be expert at controlling them, but the determination to control them is necessary to take up devotional service. The second verse describes those hindrances to devotional service, all six of them. The third verse describes sadvidam bhakti. Those six practices which guarantee the success of devotional service. And in both of the last verses, 2 and verse 3, it was described how one has to give up the association of non-devotees. In text 4, it describes making friendship with the devotees and how to go about that. The six exchanges of love which endear one in his relationship with the devotees. Now in text 5, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet prinatavis cha bhajantamisham susrusaya bhajana vigyamananyamanya nindati shanya riddham ipsita sangha labhya. It describes the madhyam devotee and how he should treat, how he should make his friendship with the devotees according to their position. As the last sentence in the fourth verse says, in the purport, Rupa Goswami informs us what kind of Vaishnavas should be selected as friends and how Vaishnavas should be served in the next verse. So here is that next verse. How to deal with different kinds of Vaishnavas. The first one, Krishneti. What does Krishneti mean? The holy name. Giritam manasa adriyeta. Adriyeta means honor. So a Vaishnava who is chanting with his words, Giritam, Krishneti yasya, Giritam. Giri means words. Tam. With his words, he's chanting the holy name. How should we deal with him? Manasa adriyeta. One should honor him with the mind. Krishneti, with the holy names, Krishneti yasya giri, who is saying the holy names with his words. Manasa adriyeta. He should be honored within the mind. Oh, here is a Vaishnava. Vaishnava Yamanabha Namah. Second line. Dikshasti chet pranatabhischa bhajantamishan. So bhajan means engage in devotional service. Isha, sometimes Isha means Lord Shiva.
Give me a five. Take rest. Good. Don't take rest here. You can take rest outside or you can listen here.
Either way. So, bhajan means worship of the Supreme Personality of, and ishan means unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes isha means Lord Shiva too. Ishwara means controller. So, one who is engaged in devotional service unto the Supreme Lord, Dikshasti, who is initiated, then chet pranatibhis, one should offer his obeisances to him. Dikshasti chet pranatabhis cha bhajantamisham. So what does dikshasti mean? Yeah. Pranatabhis? What does it mean?
Obeisances.
Offer obeisances. Cha bhajantamisham.
And he's engaged in devotional service.
So one who has taken initiation and engaged in devotional service, one should offer his respectful obeisances physically to him. Krishneti, what does that mean? Without looking. Krishneti?
The holy name. the holy name, Krishnaiti Yasya Giri. Yes, with his words, out loud.
Why don't you come sit here and make it easier?
Because my habit is always, due to my teacher training, to scan the room, you know, giving eye contact. So it just, my neck begins to hurt when, you know, I have to go all the way over there. And then I have to find out who's hiding behind someone else's head. Something like that. But anyway. Giri tam manasa adriyeta. What is manasa adriyeta? Okay. Mind, honor. Mentally honor. Adriyeta means honor, manasa. The third one, shushushaya, means to serve. Bhajana, vigyam. So when one has realized his bhajan, one is more realized, ananya, without any deviation. One who is engaged, who is seriously engaged, ananya bhajan, vigyan, vigyan ananya. He's real, his bhajan, his devotional service is realized and it's undeviated. Then shushushaya, one should serve that one. That's the third kind. And more qualities of that third one. Anya nindati means blasphemy, shunya. We know that shunya means zero. Nivisesha shunyavadi, a zero vadi. A person who is following the path of zero. So his tendency to ninda. Satam nindanam na paramam maparadam vitanute. This is the first offense. Ninda means blasphemy or criticism. So when one is anya nindati shunya, he's devoid of the tendency to criticize rhythm within his heart. He's not like restraining it, like he's feeling, oh, I'm not going to do it. It's not like he's restraining it, but deep in his heart, ananya nindati shunya, rhythm. He's free deep within his heart. That means his heart is so clear. No envy is sitting there whatsoever. So he's devoid of that tendency to criticize. Ipsita sangha labdhya. Labdhya means to take or to gain. So his sangha, one should try to obtain. One, it's very desirable to obtain such a person's sangha. So there's two qualities of this first class devotee.
Two qualities?
Yeah, what are those again? I forgot.
Is Manyama,
yeah, it's the right answer, but I probably asked the wrong question. The two qualities of this very highly advanced devotee. One?
He's free from the tendency to criticize.
Okay, and what's the Sanskrit?
Ninda something ninda.
What is his ninda? His tendency for ninda. Anya nindati. His tendency for ninda. Or criticism is shunya, ridda. And then ipsita sangha labdhya. One should be very eager for his association. And what's the other quality? Yeah, right. Realize bhajana vigyam ananya. Undeviating. Ananya means undeviating. Bhajan. Vigyan means realize bhajan, and such a person, shushushaya, one should want to serve. So there's two qualities, and one should try to serve him and attain his association. Qualities devoid of the tendency to criticize others, and his continuous, undeviating bhajan. The translation, one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diction, is engaged in worshipping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who has advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. Purport. Now, the first page of the purport quickly speaks about the three, all three of these kind, the Kanishta, the Madhyam, and Uttam. In order to diligently apply the sixfold loving reciprocations mentioned in the previous verse, one must select proper persons with careful discrimination. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore advises that we should meet with the Vaishnavas in an appropriate way according to their particular status. In this verse, he tells us how to deal with three types of devotees, the Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttama Adhikari. Now, these terms, Kanishta Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari, usually, although we use them in ISKCON to mean the first class devotee, the second class devotee, and the third class devotee, they usually referred to, as Rupa Goswami's definition in the Bhagavatam, in the Nectar of Devotion, that because Adhikari means candidate or qualification. So there is a person who is first class qualified, a person who is second class qualified, and a person who is third class qualified. So the first class qualified person is the most likely to achieve the desired result. And what's the desired result? Devotional service. So that's how Rupa Goswami describes it, the Nectar Devotion. It's the chapter title that talks about this, is the eligibility for a candidate for accepting devotional service. But here, this definition that Prabhupada is using, he's using it as Kanista Bhagavat, Madhyam Bhagavat, or Uttama Bhagavat, or Kanista, or low class, or beginning devotee, medium class, middle devotee, or Uttama, or top class devotee. Now these definitions that we'll see refer to mostly to the 11th canto. And Prabhupada's going to define them here quite simply. The Kanista Adhikari is a neophyte who has received the Harinam initiation from the spiritual master and is trying to chant the holy name of Krishna. Now there'll be other definitions given in this purport, but here is one. One who is a beginning devotee who has received initiation, Harinam initiation. That, there's sometimes a distinction given between Harinam and Diksha. Harinam means given the holy name, you chant Hare Krishna on your beads, 16 rounds a day or 64 rounds a day. And Diksha means Gayatri Mantra. This is often a distinction that's made. So the Kanista Adhikari is the beginner who is told, who is instructed to chant Hare Krishna to make advancement. One should respect such a person within his mind as a Kanista Vaishnava. That means one should not disrespect them and know that such a soul who is taken to the chanting of the holy name is very rare. A Madhyam Adhikari has received spiritual initiation, that's Diksha, not Harinam, but Diksha from the spiritual master, and has been fully engaged by him in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That means deity worship, as the verse explains. So the Kanista Bhakta cannot engage in deity worship because he has not received Diksha yet. He has not received Gayatri Mantra. And that's the, but the Madhyam, he's engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. That means, as the verse says, defining the Madhyam, obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, Diksha, and is engaged in worshipping the deity. Now the third one, or describes further the Madhyam. The Madhyam Adhikari should be considered to be situated midway in devotional service. The Uttama Adhikari, or highest devotee, the Uttama Bhakta, is one who is very advanced in devotional service. And Uttama Adhikari is not interested in blaspheming others. His heart is completely clean. And he has attained the realized state of unalloyed Krishna consciousness. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, the association and service of such a Mahabhagavat or perfect Vaishnava are most desirable. So who knows where Uttama Bhakti technically begins? Does anyone know the answer to this? This is a lower order cognitive question. For those of you who remember your teacher training, where does Uttama Bhakti begin? There's a clear demarcation where Uttama Bhakti begins, and that's given in by Rupa Goswami. Seems like three people know. Okay, Golok.
When you stop making distinctions between
the two? According to, I'm speaking in terms of the verse by Rupa Goswami, Adoshvata, Sarusanga, Bhajana Kriya. Huh? Where does Uttama Bhakti begin? What stage does Uttama Bhakti begin in that cycle, in that progression? That means you don't know. Anyone know? Yes?
And stage of Bhava.
Yes. Bhava Bhakti means Uttama Bhakti. Uttama Bhakti. This is described in the Nectar of Devotion.
Okay, it's interesting how Prabhupada describes it.
Now, what wave of the Nectar of Devotion, or what section of the ocean? There's four sections of the Nectar of Devotion. Which section is Bhava Bhakti described? Anyone?
The western. The second one. Or the third one.
It's preliminarily described. It's described two times. It's described in the first section, in the first, second, third Lahari, the third wave of the first section. Now, there's four sections of the Nectar Devotion, and we should actually, when we study the Nectar Devotion, we'll learn this. Although we won't study all four. We'll just study the first one. The first one is the general description of bhakti. It goes from, there's an overall description from the beginning to the end, with special emphasis on the practice of sadhana bhakti. So there's first a general description of bhakti, then there's a description of sadhana bhakti, then there's a description of bhava bhakti, and then there's a description of prema bhakti. So there's two things, there's sadhana and siddha. Sadhana is madhyam, and siddha or perfect. Sadhana means practice, and siddha means perfect or uttama. Bhava and prema are considered uttama bhakti. Now, bhava is described in the eastern side, in the third wave. It's called here by Prabhupada, chapter 17, ecstatic love. That's the definition of bhava. Ecstatic love. And prema, in the next chapter, in the next two chapters later, is devotional service and pure love of Godhead. That's prema bhakti. By the practice of executing regulated devotional service, one is actually elevated onto the transcendental stage, beyond the material modes of nature. That's when one goes from madhyam to uttama. At that time, one's heart becomes illuminated like the sun. The sun is far above the planetary systems, and there's no possibility of its being covered by any kind of cloud. Similarly, when a devotee is purified like the sun, from his pure heart, there is a diffusion of ecstatic love, which is more glorious than sunshine. Only at that time is the attachment to Krishna perfect. Spontaneously, the devotee becomes eager to serve the Lord in his ecstatic love. At this stage, the devotee is on the platform of Uttama Arakari, perfect devotion. Such a devotee has no agitation for material affections and is interested only in the service to Radha and Krishna. So that is bhava bhakti. And bhava bhakti, which is the second stage, after sadhana, then bhava, and then prema. Sadhana bhakti is compared by Srila Rupa Goswami to the first sprout of prema. So even though there's such a glorious description of bhava bhakti, it is like a sprout compared to the flowering tree of prema. Or sometimes bhava is compared to the ray of the sun of prema. And bhava is so glorious. So how glorious is prema bhakti? Now one passes through different stages
to get to Bhava Bhakti or Uttama Bhakti. Who knows those stages? Beginning with Shraddha, and then we can say that Madhyam Bhakti begins with not sadhana and sadhusanga, but bhajana kriya, or the practices of devotional service, because one takes diksha, and that's part of bhajana kriya. And then what comes after bhajana kriya? By practicing bhajan, what happens? Anartana vritti. That means all the anarthas caused by four different types of anarthas, are sinful reactions within the heart, caused by four different types of activities: previous sins, previous piety, sevaparat, and namaparat. These are the causes of anarthas within the heart: piety, sin, sevaparat, and namaparat. Then, by the proper practice of bhajan, these anarthas go away. And until one is properly practicing his bhajan and the anarthas go away, one cannot be steady. One tries, but one cannot be steady. One goes up and down, and there are different unsteadinesses that come to the heart. But one cannot be steady until these anarthas, these which are caused by sinful reactions, are removed. So one feels like he's fighting forces way, way beyond his control. And he is. He's fighting with sinful reactions. Then, by proper chanting of the holy name, especially in a strict following of sadhana, and also by good association, then one can get nishta, or his devotional service becomes fixed, which means that it's beyond the anarthas. Anartha Navritti actually means anartha is gone. Then nishta means he is fixed. It means nishta is the platform on which devotional service actually begins, in one sense. This is bhakti or bhavati naishtaki. Srinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtanam vidhyantastoya badrani vidunoti saritatam. So that's referring to the anarthas being removed from the heart, the abhadrani, by the Lord. Ultimately, it's the Lord who removes the anarthas from the heart. And then, how does the next verse begin? No. Nasta praesha badresu nityam bhagavati sevaya bhagavati uttamasloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So this naishtiki refers to nishta, where the heart is, especially rajatama, tado rajatamo bhava kama lobadeyas chaye, especially rajatama are removed almost to nil. This is the platform of nishta, because the sinful reactions that we suffer from are caused by raja and tama. And all they mean is sinful reactions. That means when we should be in Mangalarti, we just want to sleep, and when we're chanting japa, we want to sleep. And then when it's time to do one thing, we want to run somewhere else, and it's time to read, and we have ants in our pants, and we just can't sit down, and chanting, our mind is wandering all over the universe. And this is rajatama. And then nishta means when that is moved, the rajatama is removed almost to nil. Of course, it's when it gets late like this, a little bit of tama is natural, because everyone's tired after a hard day. And then after that, on that platform, one can actually get a taste. On the nishta platform, by hearing, one can actually get a taste for Krishna Katha and the holy names, and that's called ruchi. And then when that taste solidifies into an intense addiction where one cannot live without a moment, he has an attachment for Krishna. Every moment he wants to be with Krishna. And that is called the Shakti. And that Ashakti is the top stage of Madhyam. And Ashakti is very advanced. It's very advanced. But it cannot be compared to Uttama, because there is something that brings one to the platform of Uttama. One even knows his rasa with Krishna in Ashakti, but he is not Uttama. He is Madhyam. But that intense desire, we can imagine what it is that attracts the mercy of the Lord to come and bring him to the topmost platform, because he knows how he wants to serve Krishna, and he cannot live a moment without wishing to serve Krishna in that way. He loves Krishna, but he's so attached to Krishna. And then Krishna, at his sweet will, he then gives his mercy through a devotee, generally, to that asakti devotee, and then he comes to the platform of bhava. Jiva Goswami describes, I mentioned this before, that this bhava bhakti is sudholava, or very rare, because practically speaking, it's impossible to achieve it without practicing Krishna consciousness with ruchi and asakti. Without taste and attachment, one cannot achieve the mercy of the Lord. Because the heart is crying out for Krishna, and then Krishna, in time, and sometimes it's a very long time, and usually it's a very long time, when one's heart is breaking for Krishna. Oh, Krishna. You know, his heart is... And then Krishna compassionately gives him his mercy. But if the heart is not breaking for Krishna, if we think that we can play around and goof around and casual around and in such a way just go on with our life, and Krishna will one day... He won't. He won't. We have to practice with attachment and ruchi. And where does that attachment and ruchi come from? That taste for the Lord and attachment to the Lord. It comes from association and hearing. Or rather, hearing in association, in the right association. So that's... that's Mahabhagavat, or perfect Vaishnava. Their association is most desirable. And why are they most desirable? Because you will catch their disease. One should not remain a Kanishtha Adhikari, one who is situated in the lowest platform of devotional service and interested only in worshipping the deity in the temple. Now, there's a... A change is made in definition there. Over there. A bit. Because Kanishtha Adhikari was first described as just having Harinam, and the Madhyam has been described previously as the one who has received Diksha. But here, one shouldn't remain a Kanishtha Adhikari, one who is situated in the lowest platform of devotional service, interested only in worshipping the deity in the temple. That actually isn't a change. But what it means is that he's not personally worshipping the deity in the temple, but he's worshipping as part of the congregation. See? That's what that means. He's visiting the temple. He's not himself doing the puja or pujari work. And the definition of such a person is given in the 11th canto. Archayam Eva Haraye Pujam Yat Shadaye Hate Natad Bhakteshu Chanyeshu Sabhakta Prakrita Smrita. He's a Prakrita Bhakta. A person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple, but who does not know how to behave towards devotees or people in general, is called a Prakrita Bhakta or Kanishtha Adhikari. So, what is that person like? He loves the deity. Not loves, really. Because love means prema, or priti. But his affection, and not real affection, But he's attracted to the deity, but not really attracted. But his attention is faithfully focused on the deity, and he's attracted to the deity. But he thinks the deity is God, and no one else is advanced. That's his special characteristic. God is great, and everyone else, no one is advanced. And he also thinks himself advanced. Just see how nicely and faithfully I worship the deity. And I bring fruits every day, and I bring some incense and some paisa. Or some... What's the South African currency? Rands. Or some rands, or some something or another, or pounds, or shillings, or pence, or dollars.
Yeah, in verse, in Sanskrit, it seems like a mentioning that he does deity worship because he mentioned the name, the word Achyam and Pujam with faith, Shadayi. But Prabhupada, this is the definition of Prakriti Bhatta.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada is related with Kanishka Dipari.
Yeah.
Prakriti Bhatta can be worshipping the deity.
It's a consciousness, of course.
Consciousness, yeah.
It's a consciousness. But let's see. But Prabhupada had previously... the reason why I said that...
Normally, it's like you said. That's
but that's what it... One should hope that the pujari is the actual pujari is... is above this platform. Here's the translation from the 11th canto given by not by Prabhupada but in our Bhagavatam by Hridayananda Maharaj and Gopi Pradhana and Dravida. There's long definitions. Long purport. A devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the deity in the temple but does not behave properly towards other devotees or people in general is called a Prakriti Bhakta, a materialistic devotee, and is considered to be in the lowest position. Here's another. People could also be worshipping... Srila Madhvacharya comments that one in the lowest stage of devotional service faithfully worships the deity in the temple but is not aware that the Supreme Personality of God is actually all-pervading. The same mentality can be seen in the Western countries wherein people commit all types of sinful activities in their homes and in the street but then piously go to the church and pray to God for mercy. Actually, God is in our home, God is in the street, God is in the office, God is in the forest, God is everywhere. And therefore God should be worshipped everywhere by the process of devotional service at His lotus feet. Let's see. But it's not only Prabhupada who's giving that comment about the Madhyam being one way. It's Rupa Goswami saying, the verse itself, he's saying Madhyam means Diksha. Yeah. So looking at it another way, that when one wants to, one has faith, he's ready for Harinam initiation. And when one is on the Madhyam platform, he's ready for Diksha. That's another way to look at it. I haven't read these, all the purports. But we'll read the verses. An intermediate or second class devotee called Madhyamadhikari offers his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord, shows mercy to the ignorant people who are innocent and disregards those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The most advanced devotee sees within everything the soul of all souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and understands that everything that exists is eternally situated in the Lord. Anyway, in all these, we're going to find there's mixtures of definitions. And if you really try to take one and put it next to the other and analyze everything, It may turn out to be difficult looking at it from that point of view. But the point is clear, that one shouldn't just be a prakriti bhakta and just respect the deity and not respect the devotees, not recognizing that the Lord is in the heart of the devotees as well as in the deity. That's the point. One therefore has to raise himself from the position of kanista to the platform of madhyam. The madhyam adhikari is described in the Bhagavatam in this way: Ishvare tad abhineshu baleshu vishat vishatsu cha prema maitri kripo peksha yakaroti samadhyama. The madhyam adhikari is a devotee who worships the Supreme Personality as the highest object of love. He makes friends with the Lord's devotees, is merciful to the ignorant, and avoids those who are envious by nature. Now, I'd like to at least finish section A here. The next, there's going to be a discussion. Again, it's going to go through Kanista Madhyam Uttama again. And now here's a different type of definition of Kanista. This is the way, and it's going to tell how to elevate oneself, at least briefly. This is the way to cultivate devotional service properly. Therefore, I think that was referring to madhyam. In other words, one should become a madhyam devotee. One can't become an uttama devotee by his effort, but one can, by his effort, become a madhyam devotee. Becoming an uttama devotee depends on the Lord, simply on his kripa. His kripa shakti has to descend upon the jiva for him to become an uttama. But by one's effort, seriousness and devotional service, one can become a madhyam. This is the way, so one should become a madhyam. So becoming a madhyam is the way to cultivate devotional service properly. Therefore, in this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami has advised us how to treat various devotees. We can see from practical experience that there are different types of Vaishnavas. It's funny how, not funny, but the analysis that the Prakriti Bhakta, or the Kanista Bhakta, practically, he sees God and he sees everyone else equally. But he sees everyone else, he's Prakriti, he sees everyone materially. And the Uttama Bhakta sees everyone equally too, but he sees everyone spiritually. It's only the Madhyam who makes distinctions, and we should try to be Madhyam. We can see from practical experience that there are different types of Vaishnavas. The Prakriti Sajivas generally chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, yet they are attached to women, money, and intoxication. Although such persons may chant the holy name of the Lord, they are not yet properly purified. Such people should be respected within one's mind, but their association should be avoided. Those who are innocent but simply carried away by bad association should be shown favor if they are eager to receive proper instructions from pure devotees. But those neophytes who are actually initiated by the bona fide spiritual master and are seriously engaged in carrying out the orders of the spiritual master should be offered respectful obeisances. So Prabhupada puts he makes some distinctions among Kanista Adhikaris. One is the Prakriti Sahajiyas, who should be avoided, and the innocent, but who are carried away by bad association, should be given good association. They should be preached to. They're innocent. And they also should be treated, they should be treated as innocent and be given compassion. The Prakriti Sahajas, even though they may be chanting Hare Krishna, they are considered like Kanistas, not associated with practically. Then there's the Madhyam. In this Krishna conscious movement, a chance is given to everyone without discrimination of caste, creed, or color. Everyone is invited to join this movement. Sit with us, take prasad, and hear about Krishna. When we see that someone is actually interested in Krishna consciousness and wants to be initiated, we accept him as a disciple for the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. That's Harinam initiation. When a neophyte devotee is actually initiated and engaged in devotional service by the orders of the spiritual master,
he should be accepted immediately as a bona fide Vaishnava, and obeisances should be offered to him. So then he's actually initiated, that's Diksha. That seems to be the indication here. And then one should offer him obeisances. Out of many such Vaishnavas, one may be found to be very seriously engaged in the service of the Lord, and strictly following all the regulative principles, chanting the prescribed number of rounds on japa beads, and always thinking of how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Such a Vaishnava should be accepted as Uttama Adhikari, a highly advanced devotee, and his association should always be sought. So Prabhupada is giving a different type of definition of an Uttama Bhakti here, not necessarily one who is immersed in pure love of God, but as someone who's a serious devotee, highly advanced, and always engaged in the order of the spiritual master, chanting his rounds and thinking of how to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. Okay, before everyone, you woke up. That's pretty good. Pretty good. I appreciate that. Before everyone completely falls asleep. But we'll probably spend another two more days on this verse. And then the next one at 6 is probably two days.